Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
All right.
Can we be there?
We check in.
Oh, it's been good.
One of our good friends of the show, James Marilat. James, how long have you been working here at the Fan?
Let's see, like 5 months, 4 months?
Okay, 4 or 5 months.
Yeah.
You'd be hard-pressed to find someone else who has created more discussion than you have in that amount of time.
I'm going to take that as a compliment.
It should be really. I mean, you don't just make stuff up. Now the majority of any particular population within any conversation may disagree with you, but you mean what you say. You believe what you say.
Yes.
So I appreciate it. And it's, like I said, inspired a lot of engaging conversation on this show in particular, and
well,
I think on the station.
I would like to think, you know, I swayed both of you guys on the should players play in the preseason.
You did.
Argument. Is it overstepping my bounds if I say I swayed Vic Fangio? Like, is that too much?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think there's a line
really?
There.
Yeah, you can't take that credit.
I
sorry.
Can't?
No.
Oh.
No, I don't think Vic was listening to your reasoning and said, you know what? That James Marilat, that makes sense. We're not going to play any more preseason
games.
I'm
just going to say this.
Because after you said it, they did play.
I'm fully expecting, D-Mac to take credit for the Broncos integrating virtual reality. Get ready for that.
Yes.
Here in about an hour. But James, you are thinking outside the box. You floated a quarterback that the Broncos should seriously be considering. Lay out your argument.
Yeah, so with Drew Locke apparently sidelined into the regular season, which, by the way, why is it they can't put a timeline on this? Like, they're able to tell us within 2 weeks how long Andy Janovich is going to be out, how long Theo Riddick's going to be out. Apparently, it's the first quarterback to ever sprain his thumb because they have no clue. Is it going to? We have no idea, which is odd to me. But it's going
to be, yeah, you should have a 4 to 6 weeks or
right.
3 to 5 weeks or something like that. I mean, you should have some kind of range.
Some sort of guess. So we could start to figure out, well, how long do they have to bridge the gap here?
Right.
Because it was pretty clear based on the fact that he came in the third preseason game right after Joe Flacco that Drew Locke was going to be the backup.
Sure.
We've all been talking about it all training camp. It makes sense. If Flacco gets hurt, you might as well go with the guy that, worst case scenario, he's getting reps for the future. But with Locke out, then it becomes, well, who's the guy in a short-term type of a situation, the second half of a game, maybe 1, 2, 3 games during the season if Flacco is injured, could keep, you know, could hold down the fort and keep things on track. I don't think Kevin Hogan's that guy. I don't. I haven't seen anything in preseason or at training camp that leads me to believe if they're up 17-10 at halftime in Oakland that he can hold on to that lead on the road in week one. Or if they're 4-0 and Flacco gets hurt and is going to miss 3 games, hey, how do you win 1, ideally 2, to make it to where, hey, the season doesn't just unravel because of your quarterback going down? I don't think Kevin Hogan can do that. I think you need to go out and get a true veteran. You got to go out and get a guy who has proven he can win big games in this league. You got to get a guy who ideally knows the system because it's August 22nd, and yeah, whoever it's going to be hasn't been here through all of this. The number one guy on that list, and the numbers in terms of the financial commitment make sense, is Brock Osweiler. He would be the perfect fit here. He played in Gary Kubiak's system in 2015. He won some big games. He beat New England here. He beat Cincinnati here. The Broncos don't have the number one seed that year without Brock Osweiler playing well. And I know, look, there's reasons why people don't like him here. He took the money and ran and went to Houston because he, you know, got his feelings hurt that they went back to Peyton. I get all of that. When he came back here in 2017, he wasn't particularly good. He was 0-4 as the starter. That season was a train wreck. He did have a really good performance that year, though. I don't know if you guys remember the Thursday night game up in Indianapolis where he came off the bench for Trevor.
I do.
Was very good. Had 147.7 quarterback rating that night. He played really well. And last year, he, you know, had some moments with the Dolphins, a team that, let's face it, they were in shambles, and he had some pretty good games, including one, I believe, against Vic Fangio's defense. So, look, I don't think Brock Osweiler is a long-term solution here. As soon as Drew Locke is healthy and can be the backup quarterback, it's thanks, Brock. We appreciate you coming in. Shake hands. Here's your final check. You know, we'll see you at the Christmas party kind of thing. But if you had to play week two here against Chicago without Joe Flacco, who would you rather have at quarterback? Brock Osweiler or Kevin Hogan? That's an easy one to me. That's an easy one.
You know what? I am not going to sit here and disagree. I'm not going to sit here and disagree. If my life was on the line and you had to win a football game, do I trust Kevin Hogan or Brock Osweiler? Well, give me the guy who started more than one NFL game.
And you're probably buying a burial plot either way if your life's on the line.
Yeah, and here's the problem. Here's the problem here. You know, Brock hadn't been in any camp. Is he even working out? Is he in shape? Is he ready to go? I mean,
let's assume he is, though.
Well, I'm not assuming anything. I don't know that he is. So
No.
I mean, I haven't seen any workouts where he's, you know, at this workout or he's planning to continue to play. Last I heard, he was looking to get in a broadcasting booth or something. I guess that's a cool thing to do for these quarterbacks now. So where is his conditioning? Where is he at? I mean, he hasn't thrown a ball since the end of the season type of thing. Then I'm like, no, thank you. Let's look. And Nick brought it up and Zach and I talked about it last week when we were watching those backup quarterbacks for the 49ers.
Sure.
That is, you know, Insta quarterback. They know the system. It's you come right in, you don't miss a beat. So if you don't feel good about Kevin Hogan, you wait to see if one of those guys for San Francisco get released. If you don't, you say, hey, John Lynch, John Elway, your buddy here, hook me up with C.J. Beathard. I'll give you a conditional sixth or seventh. Do us a favor here. And I think that would be what I would prefer.
Now, if I had to play a game, playing my same hypothetical of would I rather have Kevin Hogan or Brock Osweiler, okay, if I had to play a game with Nick Mullins or Brock Osweiler or C.J. Beathard and Brock Osweiler, I would probably pick either one of the 49ers quarterbacks. The difference, though, is, well, at the moment, neither one of them is available. They're not on the market. And you'd be giving up an asset, a draft pick, for a guy that you hope doesn't have to play. I mean, this is an insurance policy. You hope you bring Brock Osweiler in. You pay him for 3 weeks. He stands on the sideline with a clipboard. And week four, when Jacksonville rolls into town, Drew Lock is the backup quarterback, and you're like, whew, all right, that was worth it. It was worth the money we spent. I mean, he made $800,000 last year with the Dolphins. I'm assuming if he was ready to roll off the couch and play in Miami, he could do it this year. Josh McCown probably wasn't working out. He was definitely going to go be in the broadcast booth, and the Eagles were willing to give him a shot. So, yeah, if one of those guys becomes available from the 49ers, better option.
I'm staying with Hoagie.
Oh,
I'm staying with Hoagie. I don't know. He's been here the whole time. He knows the system inside and out. And I don't know if I got two games. I don't know if I would rather go with Brock right now, a guy that hasn't been in camp. I know he started more games. He's played in some big games, but the last couple times I've seen him, well, especially here in Denver, he didn't win a game. Miami was, I don't know what his record was last year.
Two and three.
So, I mean, he's won some games there more than Kevin Hogan. But Kevin Hogan being with his team, being in the system, going through training camp, I just rather take my odds and take my chances with him. And if, like you said, if Flacco gets hurt, guess what? Game over anyway. So, Kevin Hogan, just stick with Hogan.
Well, you know, it's kind of a moot point because the Broncos are going to stick with Kevin Hogan. This is what they're going to do.
Are they? If he looks awful on Saturday night, if he looks Nathan Peterman bad and throws five picks in the first half.
Oh, my.
Oh.
Do they just roll out and go, yeah, we're comfortable
with
this?
They probably do.
You know what?
They probably do.
You know what? My gut says the same thing. Probably.
They're just going to take the gamble that Joe Flacco doesn't get hurt.
Yeah, you know, for the first 2 weeks and say, you know what, in 4 weeks, Drew Locke's going to be ready. That's our plan anyway, because when Drew Lock gets healthy, he's back to the number two.
If the injury's like a 8 week, 10 week thing, all of a sudden he needs surgery. Now it's a different conversation. Now either it's Kevin Hogan or probably go trade for one of those San Francisco guys.
Well, yeah, because with each passing week, the odds of an injury get better and better and better. If he's just going to miss week one, you roll the dice and just hope and pray that Kevin Hogan doesn't have to, you know, run onto the field for anything. But if it's 3, 4, 5 games, I think that's a big risk, and I think it's one that the Broncos can ill afford to take.
James Merrillat, getting the wheels turning again. Appreciate you stopping by.
You bet.
All right. I made a bold prediction this offseason, and I'm feeling a bandwagon start to fill up on now.
Oh, you're talking about your Rockies prediction?
No.
Oh, I wanted to revisit that.
No,
you know what?
No,
oh,
no.
You got another prediction.
No, another prediction
that you're right on. No.
I feel great about it.
I love it.
We'll get to it next. So this past offseason, probably 3 or 4 months ago at this point, gosh, I can't believe August is almost over. It's about to be September.
Is it really? Goodness, the 22nd.
That to me, to me, September in my mind is like January. That's where I've always hit reset because school puts that into me.
Right.
Growing up back east, you don't go to school until after, what's that holiday in September? Is it Memorial Day?
Yeah, it's Labor Day.
Labor Day.
No, I don't know. I have no idea.
Whatever. So you don't go back to school until...
It's coming up here because I remember it's always like towards the end of training camp, like the first week of the football season is when that holiday is and people are taking it off. I'm like, this is the start of our... This is when I start getting really high anxiety.
Right.
Because, you know, my job is really cranked up.
Right. Well, I just remember going back to school. You don't go back to school until September or whatever, second week of September. Much different than out here. And I'd be Labor Day, September 2nd.
There we go.
And I'd be like forcing my fall school clothes that I just bought. It'd still be hot, but I'm like, no, these are my new school clothes. Right. They're getting worn. I don't care if it's 93.
That's right. I'm putting these things on.
Right. But anyway, a couple months ago, I made a bold prediction.
September's the best month the best month of the year in Colorado.
For, like, weather-wise, you're saying?
Oh, my gosh, yes. Afternoons, like, just perfect outside.
I can't disagree with that. Yeah.
I just love Septembers. I just love them.
You know, September weather is like a good left tackle. You don't even notice it. Like, I love the weather. I'm not too hot. I just forget that weather exists. I'm just in a perfect, perfect state. It's like a good official or a good left tackle. I didn't even realize you were there.
Right. It's just perfect.
Anyway, a couple months ago...
A couple months ago,
I made a prediction that I'm hearing a lot of people come back around to.
Oh.
Louis Riddick, Booger McFarland, Cecil Lammy. This past offseason, I said Bradley Chubb will have more sacks than Von Miller. And I said he's going to be in the Defensive Player of the Year conversation. And you pressed me. And you said he either is or he isn't. And I said... Damn it, Bradley Chubb's going to win Defensive Player of the Year.
Yes, you did. I remember that. I'm like, well, like, what are you talking? Is he going to win it or is he not going to win it? Don't just say he's going to be in the conversation. Like, because then you'll go back and say, I told y'all, you know, he finished seventh
in the voting.
Right, he was in the conversation. No, you said, you did. You said he was going to win it. You said he was going to have more sacks than Vaughn. That's what you said.
And he's
off to a dang good start, I'll tell you that.
And I feel great about my prediction after Monday night. I feel great about it.
You should.
He looks so good.
Well, people are starting to take notice, too. He's not a rookie. He's not a cute story. It's not Von Miller and that other guy, that other, you know, top 10 pick. No. It's Von Miller / Bradley Chubb in the same sentence.
Right.
That's what he's done, and he's done it really quickly. He had a nice year last year, but still, it was on a bad football team. But now, with what he did on Monday Night Football, let's not forget, it was still Monday Night Football.
Great call.
Okay, so the eyes were on him. You had Booger talking about him. Then you have Louis Riddick talking about him. And now he's like the spotlight on ESPN NFL Live.
Yep.
They're continuing to talk about him because of his two nice plays that he had. So he is... You know, not just a cute story anymore. He's like a legit name in the NFL, and it's not a surprise story.
During the game on Monday in that first quarter, I tweeted, and you can follow Stoke and I on Twitter. Stoke is at BStokely14. I am at Byzline. And I said, Bradley Chubb in 2019 will go from really nice rookie season to household name and playing in the Pro Bowl. Because although he is getting the attention, I don't know if my dad knows who Bradley Chubb is, who just sort of tunes in on Sundays and watches football. It takes a year of awareness and then another year of dominance for you to be a household name. And I think Bradley Chubb is on the doorstep of that conversation. I am so glad that the Denver Broncos drafted Bradley Chubb. And I would have been happy with Josh Allen, too. And Lamar Jackson's getting rave reviews in Baltimore. For the most part of what I've seen. But Bradley Chubb is our guy. And I think that this guy is tracking to be one of the best football players on either side of the ball in all of football. That when they do this NFL Top 100 thing and the players vote on it, as trivial as it can be, Bradley Chubb's name is going to be in the top 25 of those a year from now.
That would be nice. I mean, you look at the duo. You look at the defense And what we saw sample size wise last Monday night, I mean, it's got a chance to be great. And obviously having two pass rushers on the outside allow you to now all of a sudden say, Vaughn, they can't just double you every time. I mean, they got to be aware of Bradley Chubb. They just have to be now. So that's a nice thing to have. You know you have a coach that can dial things up for you. You got a nice secondary, very, very look at that group, and it's so flexible, and these guys are so versatile. They can play so many different positions, and you got a pass rush to go with it. I mean, that's a nice 1-2 punch to have. Now, you got to stop the run. That's a big deal. But you have the makings, and you have the opportunity here with Vic and company to be a really good defense with the makings of two edge rushers, two legit edge rushers.
My last note on this before we move on. I'll never forget D-Mac calling Bradley Chubb the night of the draft the next Robert Ayers.
Wow.
He said you didn't pick those quarterbacks because you wanted the next Robert Ayers.
I love that you remember that.
Ooh, because I just love Chubb, and I'm like, how could you say that? Yeah, I know you wanted a quarterback, but how could you take it out
you
on
think
Chubb?
He remembers that?
Oh, I got the screenshot to remind him.
Ooh, yeah,
I got receipts. Attaboy. I got the receipt.
Attaboy.
Ooh, scandalous. Love you, D-Mac. All right, we have been reacting to a lot of stuff. Okay. And there was something that was said a little bit earlier this afternoon that I said, okay, I'm here for it. I'm willing to be open about it. And it's concerning one guy that I've sold my stock on, but I got my eyes open for this weekend. I'll tell you who and why next. Real quick, we just ran into D-Mac in the hallway. And,
yeah, we did.
This is still my Rolodex. My playlist. Just ran into D-Mac.
Yeah.
He had a defense because he was on the air yesterday. He said, look, you know, when Fangio speaks tomorrow, I'm going to be out there. And I'm gonna press him a little bit. I'm gonna ask him if that left tackle spot is open for business for Elijah Wilkinson. And he wasn't out there. We're like, where's D-Mac?
And we talked about it beforehand because you had heard him say that. So we're waiting for D-Mac to ask the question. And he doesn't ask the question. He's not there. So of course we make fun of him.
Right.
And then I see him and I'm like, dude, where were you? We were talking about you asking this question. You didn't ask the question. And then. What do you think? Excuse after excuse. Well, they said, well, Elijah Wilkinson starting at right guard now. And so I'm like, you could have still asked the question. Is he, you didn't know that, you know, during your show? When did that news become available? They practiced before the show, didn't they? So I don't know. I just think it's a bunch of excuses.
So he said that Nikki had told them later in the show after that conversation
in
that
the
Eli,
show?
Eli was at right guard and that.
But it's still a relevant question. Like, is it open for conversation? How short is the leash for Garrett Bowles? Just like Isaiah McKenzie, how many more fumbles can we watch before, you know, we're not going to do what's best for Isaiah?
Yeah.
How short is the leash for Garrett Bowles if you continue to see plays like you saw the other night? Even though you say that's not his fault. He has a history of making those types of plays. He still could have shown up. And he didn't. We're not letting him off the hook.
Right. You could tell they're getting ready for life without Ron Leary. Like as in week one.
Yeah.
You don't know what you're going to get.
I mean, he can't make it through a full practice. He's actually regressed, it seems like to me. Like, he was out there a lot more earlier, and now he can't even make it through a full joint practice.
Right.
And we only got a couple weeks left. So it's either time to be all in or be all out kind of Antonio Brown. Like, can you do it or can you not do it? If you can't do it, we got to move on to Elijah Wilkinson. I don't know, whoever the other guy's name that starts with an S.
Slotsky's.
Him.
The original.
I had one of those today. Great, by the way.
I saw. I love their bread. a sourdough. It's good.
So good. So good. But, like, we can't wait around. If you can't make it through a full practice right now, then how are we going to count on you? Maybe we can, you know, gear you up and hopefully have you ready for week 6, week 8, or week 10. I don't know. But right now, it doesn't seem like we can rely on Ron Leary at all.
Well, you just mentioned Antonio Brown. I didn't really ask you about Hard Knocks. What did you make?
I liked it. I mean, I like Hard Knocks. It takes you behind the scenes. It's not as quite as entertaining as it was last year, but I love watching John Gruden. He's my favorite. I mean, I love him. I just love his mannerisms. I love how he handles the quarterbacks. You know, he's looking at Glenn and he's like, "You just ruined my weekend. You just ruined my weekend."
That was cool.
I mean, he's hilarious. I love the way he operates. I love the way he coaches, you know, and he's just like, I shouldn't blankety blank cuss anymore. And then he just continues to cuss.
Right.
I mean, he's funny. He's entertaining. So him and Antonio Brown are the show. I mean, that's the
pretty
show.
Pretty much.
It's Derek Carr to me is a little bit.
Say it.
I don't know the word for it. I don't want to be. He's a nice guy,
is
but
he
he's
a dork.
Yeah, kind of like that.
Damn.
I'm not going to say he is, but just a little darkish for me. Not saying anything's wrong with that, but so he is not very entertaining.
No.
But Gruden is.
Gruden is.
And I just love being behind the scenes, seeing what's going on. John Gruden and Antonio Brown, it's fun. It's entertaining. The part last night, I know you want to get to Antonio Brown. The part last night, yeah. or 2 nights ago, that I really loved was, because I've been in those situations before. You know, I think it was Waller or whatever, the tight end, that the coach was asking about, you know, how much longer do you want him to play? And then Gruden was like, whatever you really want. You know, you just make the call on that.
Yeah.
And then he takes him out. And then Gruden, you know, 10 minutes later, is like, get Waller in there for that fade. Get him in there for the fade.
Right.
And the coach is like, wait, you can see the panic on his face. He's like, wait, no, coach, no, wait, I took him out 10 minutes ago. Like,
right.
What, you don't remember having this conversation? Like, we can't put him in right now. You can just see the panic on the assistant face's coach is like, his face. Like, no, we can't do that. I took him out. You don't remember our conversation. I thought that was funny. And then they put the other guy in and he catches it, made a nice move.
That was cool.
That reminded me. That was just funny. That was funny.
My buddy Terrence, who played basketball and football at Johns Hopkins in Baltimore, told a story to me years ago how the old basketball coach who coached Jeff Van Gundy, and Jeff Van Gundy routinely drops his name on the broadcast because
Love
back
Jeff
in the
Van
day
Gundy.
He was at Nazareth. But anyway, he during a game, he looks down the bench and shouts the dude's name, old reserve player that graduated not the year before, but 2 years ago.
Oh.
That's how you know you're slipping. He's like, Jeffrey, get in there. Jeffrey Robinson. He's like, he graduated 2 years ago, coach.
Well, that's when you know things aren't going well.
Right.
Things aren't going well for you.
Right.
You're calling out a guy from 2 years ago.
Oh, my goodness. By the way, Hard Knocks, and I don't know if you saw this, but Hard Knocks viewership, you know where it was three times the national average? Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Saw that.
They are still fascinated by Antonio.
What have you thought about Hard Knocks so far? Three episodes in, have you enjoyed it? I mean,
I think it's very, very lackluster. You know, I don't see different dynamics. I see a lot of Gruden, who's great, and I don't actually see or hear enough about the Antonio Brown situation. It's sort of like they check the box, they cover it, but you don't hear anyone
give you a little sprinkle.
Yeah, just to kind of pay it off because they know you want to hear about it, but you don't hear any actual opinions about it.
Right.
You don't hear guys talking about it.
It's not really, you don't get the behind the scenes coaches, meetings.
No.
Like you get, they'll give you like a little glimpse of it, but nothing like we saw last year with Hugh.
No, no.
And Greg Williams and,
do you remember the tension between Todd Haley and
Todd
Greg
Haley.
Williams?
Right.
In
yes.
those meetings.
You don't get that.
No.
With this group.
No. No.
So, yeah, that for me is missing. But at the same time, look, I love watching John Gruden. I love the way he coaches. I would have loved to play for that guy. Would have loved to. I mean, you just look at him and I'm like, okay, I could play for that guy. Do you have that same feeling about John Gruden?
I would absolutely love to play
okay.
for John Gruden. He is so likable. He is so, and he just, you're talking about a guy who keeps it real. I mean, he kind of
right.
keeps it real.
He
like,
does.
This
but
is,
he's fun. He's into it.
Yeah.
You know, when they're doing well, he pumps his fist and like, yeah. I mean, he's into it. I mean, that's the kind of coach you want to play for. Loves football. Keeps it real. I like watching him. He's fun. He's entertaining. He's funny. I mean, I've enjoyed it, but of course, I kind of wish they would, a couple other guys that they could have more involved if they wanted to make more of it being a drama is Incognito,
yeah.
Which it seems like he's mellowed out a lot.
Very much so.
They probably got him on the right meds.
Sure.
Right? Because
or the combination of them.
Yeah. I mean, he's had his issues and mm-hmm. very public issues.
Yeah.
Seems like he's doing a lot better, thank goodness.
Yeah.
But Vontaze Burfict, you barely see him. You barely ever see him at all.
I wonder if that's a Raiders decision.
Right.
Like,
No.
You're not going to highlight Vontaze Burfict. He's not going to represent us right now.
And he's not going to do himself any favors, probably.
Right.
But you actually could, in that situation, change the narrative of yourself.
Sure.
Everybody looks at him as a bad guy. I don't like him. You don't like him.
Hate him.
Right. And so you look at him as a bad guy. He could actually change that narrative of himself if he wanted to. If he wanted to.
I agree.
But if he's just an awful guy, I guess maybe he couldn't.
Well,
and maybe he wouldn't.
Well,
and so maybe that's why they don't highlight him.
Good point, too. That'd be like the Broncos having Hard Knocks last year and them featuring Pac-Man.
Right.
It's like, do you really want to do that? Probably not. But with Antonio, to your point about, you know, you can paint yourself in a positive light. Antonio Brown has come off at certain periods of this as, you know, a human being and likable. And he is, you know, Antonio is a larger than life character. I mean, he is like, it's like a comic book character came to life. My wife Ashley keeps asking me, like, what is happening with his hair? Like, what is he doing with that hair? It looks like I haven't noticed. Oh, how can you not notice?
What's it doing?
It looks like separate parts of his head are in a fight, almost like Booger McFarlane's fingers. Looks like they're in a big disagreement.
Right.
You know, Antonio's hair looks like it just
all over the place.
I mean, it is kooky. But him sitting down with the analytics guy and tracking how he went faster than it's just like.
See, men lie, women lie, but the analytics don't.
Men lie, women lie. Analytics don't.
It's the factuals.
He puts a lot of work into it, though. That's the one thing about him. Like, he's not a guy that is not working. Like, that got his money and just is shutting it down. Now, he has all this other stuff that gets in the way of his greatness and is kind of, to me, I don't want to say overshadowing it, but a little bit it is. Like, you're not talking about how great he is on the football field. You're talking about all this other mess.
Yeah.
Odell Beckham, same thing.
Yeah.
It's like, just go out there and play ball, man. Forget this helmet mess. I mean, come on.
I know.
It's an overreaction to nothing, really. It really is. I mean, I get it. You have a helmet. You can find a helmet pretty similar. It is what it is. He doesn't like the look of it. I just think you're going to have to play ball, and you can try to fight this thing, but put on another helmet while this, you know, you're peeling it again, whatever you want. But he works hard. He puts a lot of work into it and effort into being great. And now you see why he's gone from that, I don't know, third, fourth, fifth round pick, whatever he was, to being one of the best receivers in the game over the last 7, 8, 9 years.
That's right.
He puts a lot of work into it.
He was a sixth round pick, by the way.
There you go.
Sixth round pick who's going to go in the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
I mean, I'm not sure he has to play another down of football to go into the Hall of Fame. He's been that good. Probably doesn't.
I formed a narrative of him, and I didn't like how he handled certain situations this year. But watching him on Hard Knocks, I'm like, I like this guy. And I'm like, what am I doing?
I know.
I like this guy. I just can't help myself. I don't know. Is that just me just being soft?
No.
Saying,
well, you are soft, but it doesn't have anything to do with that. I mean, this is Antonio Brown's season since he's walked in the league. His first year, he didn't play much, played 9 games, 167 yards, whatever. By his second year, he's over 1,100. His third year, he only plays 13 games, and he was 800. Then it was 1,500. Then it's 1,700 yards. Then it's 1,800 yards. Then it's 1,300 yards. It's 1,500 yards. It's 1,300 yards. I mean, this guy has been a shooting star in this league. But my problem with Antonio is the same as my problem with OBJ, that when you mix enough of these other factors, we start to move away of why we know your name in the first place. You are a great football player on both counts, OBJ and Antonio. But you ask a football fan, what's the first thing that they think of when you bring up either of those names? And it's the extra stuff. And by them overexerting these extra stuff, they're actually taking away from their talents and ultimately do themselves a disservice. So
it's, yeah. No, you're right. And it's a lot of these guys, it's their brand. And, you know, obviously he's getting more attention and sometimes they get to the point in their career where they just need that. They just want that. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but it just takes away from how great of a football player you are.
Right.
All
right.
The extracurricular stuff and all the nonsense. And so, but guess what? I think he's getting what he wants because he wants people to talk about him.
It's working.
It's working in that regard. But at some point, man, you know, your actions speak louder than your words. I mean, you got to show up and you're going to play. You know, he's out there with his teammates. You see him shaking his hands. He's happy to see him. They're happy to see him. But, man, you have to put all your differences and that stinking helmet thing aside and go be there for your teammates. That's the bottom line. It's not a one-man game. It's not a solo act. This is a team sport. The Raiders will be around long after you're gone. And they'll be fine with or without you. Somebody else will fill your shoes, and obviously it won't be the same impact as you, but you can't have all these distractions around you. And you can't not be there and not be available. At some point, they just say, forget it.
Right.
It's not worth it. We'll just go with somebody else that we can rely on and that we can count on and that we can trust. If you're the Oakland Raiders and John Gruden and Mike Mayock, are you going to trust that Antonio Brown is going to show up in the fourth quarter of week 14 or week one against the Denver Broncos and be ready to go and you can count on him to do the right thing? Right now, you would have to say no, but he's such a great talent. You're going to be patient with him a lot more than anybody else, but it's going to get to the point to where you're just like, forget it. We just can't. We got to get ready to play football. And if we can't trust you or can't count on you, then it's time to say goodbye, because I'd rather have somebody that's not as talented that I can trust and count on.
Right.
And that's what I tell my guys. I don't care how talented you are. It doesn't matter. If I can't trust or count on you in the fourth quarter to do the right things, I don't want you on the field.
Right.
I don't want you playing for me. Doesn't matter if you're more talented. That doesn't mean anything. You know, you look at the Patriots, they win without the most talented guys because they do the right things, they're well coached, and they can be trusted.
I love it. You sound like my college coach right now. Is exactly who you just sounded
he
like.
Must have been a great coach, a great motivator, and great.
He's in the New York State Hall of Fame.
There you go.
He'd say, "What do you want to do? Bring home the hottest chick around once a month, or do you want to have?"
I mean, because last time you went down this road, you were talking about whips and chains and masks.
Okay.
Do we have those clips?
No, we don't. By the way, this is random, but I got to say it. I haven't heard from my teammate, Will Monica, my old teammate from Fairfax,
Will
Virginia, in like 4 or 5 years. And he just texted me out of nowhere. I'm listening to you guys right now. From
Will
Virginia.
The Thrill. Big shout out to Will.
That's so cool,
Monica.
Man. Knockdown shooter, Knockdown shooter.
Set shooter. Can he go to the rack?
Not so. No, he's like Ray Allen.
Okay.
If he's going, he's got to go in a straight line.
Right. Gotcha. Shout out to Will. Thanks for listening, buddy.
All right. We heard from Vic Fangio today. Really, the big takeaway there was that he's not going to play the starters. Okay. He's not going to do it.
You happy? Are you happy with that decision?
You know, Stoke, I know in this business you should have a take. I think if he spun it either way, I can understand it.
But I thought we were all in concert and agreement here in the last couple of weeks. We've shifted our narrative.
Yeah, yes.
So I'm thrilled.
Yeah, you know, you're thrilled. I'm not thrilled. It makes sense, and I understand it, and I'm cool with it. I'm not thrilled. Because if he went out there, you know, Sean McVay gave his explanation why his guys aren't playing. They have some pretty good continuity there.
But he didn't play them last year.
But they're still the same group coming back, same coach, same quarterback. We have a different coach, a different quarterback, a different offensive coordinator, a different right guard, a different tight end, a different center. We got new receivers. There's just a lot of newness. So if he was like, look, I'd love to sit these guys, but we got to get ready to play a football game in 18 days, by the way, now. 18 days until Monday Night Football. We got to get ready to go. I'd be nodding my head like, you know what? That makes sense. That makes sense. And I don't want to be contradictory, but I find myself talking out both sides of my mouth.
No, because every situation's different. And that, you know, that's basically what you're saying. This situation's different than the Rams. And you got a new coach, new coordinators, you know, everything is new, new quarterback. I mean, you want to iron out some of these wrinkles before the Oakland Raiders. I think they've walked that fine line enough to say it's time to tap out. Like, we've done enough, and this is as far as we're going to push it and press this situation. And we've had some injuries, but we're not going to have any more. So I like the fact that they did play some guys, and it is because it is their first year together. That's fine. If you want to take that approach, I'm fine with it, because you don't have the continuity and consistency that other teams have, and a lot of newness is here. So I'm okay with that. But now is the time to be done with it. It's just the time to be done with it and say, let's get ready for the Oakland Raiders. And a lot of different variables go into this. I think if they were probably playing next Monday night at home, then he would have played his starters. But you're on a short week, you are traveling, and the other team's not playing their starters, so what's the point? And I wish he would have just said that, though. I wish he'd have just been real, real with us. He wasn't real, real with us. That's not the Vic I know. Just be real with us, Vic. Come on, it's your birthday. You could have been real with me. Just tell me the truth. It's not the, you know, don't give me the spill about third, fourth preseason. It's actually our fourth preseason game. So
right.
Just say, hey,
right.
We've gotten a lot of work in. We have had our fair share of injuries, and now we're done. We just don't want to get anybody else hurt, and we're going to get ready for the Oakland Raiders. I say, Vic, that's what I wanted to hear.
Well, I'll say this too. You know, Vic must, to a certain degree, be content with what he has seen offensively. I don't think that he would bend over backward and sacrifice that much of the quality of what he's been looking at in order to keep these guys healthy. So although it hasn't been perfect, and it hasn't, offensively specifically, it hasn't been perfect, but I think he must see enough to reasonably believe we can get enough work done in-house to go beat the Raiders.
Has he seen enough? They haven't scored a touchdown. Like you said, it hadn't been perfect. It hadn't. I think what he's seen is, like you said, he's seen some things that have been good enough, but he's also seen the injuries. He's also seen the bad things. And the bad things outweigh the benefits that you can get from playing one more game. And he just can't have any more bad things happen. I think that's really what it is. And the offense hadn't been terrible. First team offense definitely hasn't been terrible. They've made some plays. They've converted third downs. Yeah, we haven't converted the red zone. Okay. We haven't been game planning either. They haven't been game planning in the red zone.
Nope.
They haven't had a red zone package. You know, zone package you work on Thursday, right? Thursday, red zone day. Friday, red zone day. They haven't had that. So they're not scheming red zone wise to score touchdowns. You look at it, it's been good enough to tap out, right? It hasn't been great defense. What I saw the other night, great job. You don't need to play offensively. They could still use a little bit of fine-tuning there, but it's not worth the risk of somebody getting injured, one or two guys going down with an injury, and next thing you know, they're out the first game of the season. Just not worth it.
Well, we don't have to wait too long here to really get underway. First of all, we have a game Saturday against the Rams.
And that makes it a lot less appealing for me now.
Well, I'll say this. We've been talking about how depth is a major issue, right? This is a different type of opportunity. This is an opportunity to develop some of that depth through game reps. Vic said a couple weeks ago, he said, if you don't like developing players, you probably don't like the preseason. Well, this is an opportunity to get some of these guys ready to go. I think that's the only way that I can look at it.
Yeah, that's the only way. That's the only way to look at it. I just tell you what, the last three or four, the third quarter and fourth quarter, the last couple guys just been like, this is brutal. And I hope it's not the full game. You're getting fired up for the night, Gordon. I'm so jealous.
Red Rocks.
Oh, my goodness.
I've been up to Red Rocks for just never for a show. And tonight's going to be my first concert experience.
And not,
I want it to be a religious
one.
Like,
oh,
I just want to get lost
it
in
is. It is. Just try to show up with some energy tomorrow. Just a little bit. That's okay if you don't. Just enjoy the night at Red Rocks, Nathaniel Ratliff in the night sweats. Oh, man, it's going to be rocking.
We got The Drive coming up next.
Hey!